and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between.
Hello,
good afternoon.
We are back.
Yeah, we are back indeed. It's been a bumper week.
Yeah, it's been
full
on.
It's been a big one, hasn't it?
Yeah, massive. You're technically pregnant until proven otherwise, Catherine.
I have an embryo in me.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. That's so weird. I can't cope. Deep in the 2 week wait. Deep. Yeah. So shall we just tell everybody about that?
Yeah.
My transfer.
Yeah, tell me all about what happened from last week. You done your egg collection.
Yep. We knew that we had God, how many did we have? 10.
Yeah.
I forgot. We knew that we had 10. And this time last week when we did a little episode, we knew that we had 9 that were mature and 6 that have fertilized. So we were like, okay, that's what, yeah, we're, you know, that's good. Good news. We're really happy with fertilization. Carl was very proud of his sperm. He was like, yeah, they did it. Well done, boys. Yeah, and so then we were waiting for the call on Monday, because you get check-in calls, don't you, with your embryos, and how many had, like, become embryos, essentially, and developed to day 3. So on the Monday, I was on a little dog walk with Sweep, and they called me, and I've saved the number. Have you saved the number in your phone now?
Oh, my God, I actually haven't, but I know it's them, because it's an 0208
it's
020, number.
It's 020, yeah. So I've saved it so that I knew it was them, and I was like, hello! Straight away, picked it up. And, yeah, again, so nervous when she called me, but it was one of the amazing embryologists. I think it was Rachel. I can't remember. But, yeah, she said it's good news. She said all 6 are still going. They're still going strong, which is amazing.
Amazing.
And so that was on Monday. And she said, obviously now that, and obviously I ask the impossible questions, of course I do. I'm like, okay, how many are going to make it to day 5? She's like, well, I can't tell you that, obviously, for sure. So she said that at this point, we don't know, obviously, but roughly maybe 50% of them might make it. I think when you Google it, don't Google it, guys, but if you did Google it, it says like 30-50% maybe. So I was like, oh, okay, if 50% make it, then we could have a good 3, you know. And I know we spoke about it when we realized how many eggs we were working with. I did kind of, you know, reset my expectations a little bit, and I was thinking I just want 1 to put back and 1 to freeze, and that would be absolutely amazing. I mean, let's be real, just one would be great, because some people are left with nothing. So yeah, I text Carl because he was working, but he was like, text me anyway, I want to know there and then. And I've screenshotted the message, and I think I'm going to just save it forever in my favourites folder, because he was like, amazing. And I said, oh my goodness, we could have 3, and we were both like, our babies, that's amazing. And at this point, we didn't know. We were like, it's anyone's guess. But we were like, if 50% make it, that's pretty good. And then we knew that we wouldn't get a call on the Wednesday. We'd get a call if there wasn't anything, if nothing made it, none of them made it. But we knew that we'd just go to the clinic for transfer. And they were like, yep, assume that transfer is happening. So on Wednesday, I did go back to our original hospital for a scan, because they wanted to check there was some fluid in my womb. At egg collection, and they just wanted to check it out, make sure it wasn't my lining breaking down. But I went in and they said, no, it all looks absolutely fine. Dr. Brooker said that my endometrium, which is my womb lining, he said, and I can't remember the exact word, but he said something like, it is sensational. And I was like, everyone stop flirting with my womb. Everyone loves my womb lining. But he was like, your lining's looking really good, basically. And so, yeah, then he shook her hand and he was like, off you go. And it felt like, yeah, you're through to the next round. And yeah, we hopped in the car and we went to King's. But at this point, we still didn't know how many blastocysts on day five we had. So, but we hopped in the car. We thought, well, they haven't called us and said none of them have made it. So we're assuming we've got one to transfer. Great. And we were like, okay, transfer time, here we go. And you know what? Like, I say that there's not much joy to be had in IVF, and that is true. But like Wednesday's transfer was a really special day. And whether it works, whether it doesn't, I hope it does, because I was like, this would be just magic if we could tell our future child that this is how they came about. But even if not, that memory will stay with me forever, because it was just it was an amazing day. And I was excited and I really enjoyed it. And so we went there. Obviously, I'm drinking loads of water because you have to have a full bladder. And I'm in the waiting room and they're running a bit behind, I think. So when we were waiting to go in, I kept sipping more and more, but then I'm like, oh, don't sip too much. And it's always my natural instinct to get somewhere and be like, right, just going to use the loo. I'm like, no, I can't. I've got to have a full bladder. So I sat there like sipping, but trying not to be like in agony. Turns out you just need a bladder full enough that you could go for a wee there and there. Like, don't go too mad. Like, don't be an absolute pain.
I thought you were meant to be quite full. I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, it is full. But basically, I said to one of the nurses, I said, I don't know if I've drunk enough water. And she was like, could you wee right now? And I said, yeah. And then she was like, that's probably fine. So I don't know, like, if in doubt, drink more, but sip slowly. I was sipping all the way. And even when I was in there, I said, is it full enough? And they said, well, we'll see. And if not, you can drink some more, etc. So yeah, we were waiting there and then they called us through. And yeah, they brought us into the little kind of like, they call it a recovery bay. But I know you're going to be sedated for it, so it's a bit different. But if you're awake, there's not much recovery to this procedure at all. But you know, they took us through to a little bay, got us gowned up. Obviously, we took some pictures in hospital gowns and hats, because that's fun. Did some selfies. And then an embryologist came in with a clipboard, and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to tell us. And so she came in and said, it's all gone really, really well. She said, you've got 4 really good quality blastocysts. Yeah,
that's, and I was so just, good.
It was beyond what we could have expected. So from 10 to 9 to 6 fertilized to 4, I burst into tears. Of course I did, because I was like, 4, and it's like, it's as if Carl wasn't there. I kept saying to him, did you hear? I was like, 4, 4. She just said 4. He was like, yeah, I know. But yeah, that was super emotional, because then I was just like, oh my god, so that's 1 to go back in and 3 for the freezer. They were all good quality. She said, we're really happy with the quality of them. She said, they're all roughly the same. They've given them all a 4BB.
Now they're good, aren't they? That's good.
That is good. Embryos get graded. Now, this is very contentious. And Emma, the embryologist, has done a fabulous post on Instagram this week about how embryo grading can be really subjective and changeable. Yeah. And not to put too much weight, we all know people that have had a top quality embryo that hasn't taken, and then a lesser quality embryo that has worked. I met loads of people that have got that story that are like, oh, this my son or my daughter was the least quality embryo. So we all know that it's much of a muchness, but what they do is they use it to select which one to prioritize. So it's more of a code for them, I think.
And I think the thing is, what's hard about it is every clinic does it differently. They grade differently, and obviously they're looking down a microscope. Now, I'm not saying that embryologists aren't able to make a judgment. Of course they can, they're medical professionals, but you know that it is still up to human error.
It's human. Judgment, isn't it? It's like when you're grading papers probably.
Absolutely.
Teaching, you know?
Especially drama. Drama. Drama is one of the most subjective subjects you can mark.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but we were happy. They were like, yeah, really good quality. They said, we've picked this one just because it looks, you know, probably the best of them. But she said, there's not much in it. And she said, we'll put that one back in and then we'll freeze the other three. I was like, Woo-hoo! Oh my God, three. And then she did say that you have two more. One definitely won't make it to blastocyst in time because they've got to reach that kind of developed enough stage by a certain time, otherwise it's too late. But she said your fifth one, she said we might it might make it by tomorrow, by day six. So she said we'll keep an eye on it, keep looking at it. And so she said you might have a fifth, but you might not. And actually we learned after that, the day after transfer, actually the number five didn't make it.
I really do. I feel like it reminds me of like, I don't know, like a school kid lagging behind everybody
else.
It's
like the runt of the litter.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but we fully expected that. And look, we're so lucky we got what we consider a really good outcome. So we learnt that after transfer and we were like, you know what, that's fine. We're happy with this as our lot. But anyway, so we knew we had four and they were like, yeah, we're going to transfer this one. So we go in to the transfer room. And also someone told me this, to ask if you can get a picture of the embryo, because they will give you a scan picture of it. But I just asked, I was like, oh, can we get a picture of the actual embryo? Thinking, is this a cheeky question? But they were so lovely and the embryologist was like, yeah, absolutely. Aww. Give me your phone. I'll do it for you now. So I've got a picture of the embryo. Hence, not that I'm putting pressure on it to work or anything, but I'm like, wouldn't it be nice? I've got a picture of it. And don't think that I'm not going into every transfer asking for a picture now, because I absolutely will. But yes, I got a picture of that. And then you can't take pictures and videos through the actual thing, which is fair enough, because it's quite an important job. So you got to put the phone away after that. But I don't know, I just really wanted to remember it and everything. And so it's a bit like a smear test. And I'm lucky I don't struggle with smear tests. I know a lot of people do. I didn't find the procedure uncomfortable at all. It was a bit uncomfortable maybe, but honestly, I was like, that bit for me was the easy bit. But I had to stay really still because they're scanning your tummy to know where to put the embryo.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they kind of scan it and then they practice with this catheter going in vaginally through the cervix, and then they bring it out to get the position right. And then he said, right, okay, now let's bring in the embryo. And of course, I cried again. And so it was the fact that it was like, bring in the embryo. And the embryo was in the room. The embryo was in the room with us, guys. And I was just like, ugh. And so like my tummy was going up and down because I was like, just a bit overwhelmed. Carl's there the whole time holding my hand, which is so sweet.
Yeah.
And then the doctor was just like, could you just slow your breathing a little bit? Because the like sonography scan was going all over the place, the slidey thing on my tummy. I was like, oh, I have to stay really still actually. So if you can stay still, it's better. And so I was like, right, come on, get it together. So I did. And then, yeah, we saw it going in on the screen, on the ultrasound.
You actually saw it. You shoot in. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, he had to replay it for us because he was doing it and then he was like, and there it goes. Did you see it? And we both went, and he was like, it's okay, I can go back. I was like, oh God. And I was like, yeah. And Carl was like, no, I didn't see it. And I'm like, God. I'm glad you said that because I actually didn't.
It's actually like that Friends episode, isn't it? When Rachel and she's like looking, she's like, I can't see it.
Yeah, but you pretend you can. But I'm glad that Carl said no, because he went back and showed us. So you can literally like rewind the scan, like little video, and then he's like, here it comes. And like they kind of push up through the catheter with some fluid to help it like move along, and then you see it like leave the catheter into your womb, then the catheter like leaves, but the embryo is still there in this little like blob of fluid. It looks like a little light. Aww. Going down the catheter. Oh my God, just the best. And so there we go. And then they were like, great, all went really well. There we go. They gave us a little printout of the scan, which, I mean, it's the printout's on our fridge now. So we just, aww, we stuck it on the fridge and we're saying hi to it every day. Saying hi to the embryo, hope it likes it in there. Hope it's getting really cozy and comfy and it wants to stay. Hope, yeah, it wants to stick around. So yeah, then obviously, what did we do next?
You had McDonald's.
We went to McDonald's. Obviously, I went for a wee, first thing I did. And I had all those, you know, previous podcasts and what you read online in my head being like, you can't wee out an embryo.
Yeah.
You can't wee out an embryo.
Yeah, it's a completely different area, the wee.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like nestled in. It's properly, if you imagine like sticking a grain of rice into a jar full of jam, it's like wedged it. It's like nestled in. It ain't coming out. But I went for a wee. And then we went to McDonald's because obviously you've got to get McDonald's fries after an embryo transfer, because legend has it that that makes it work. And Carl was so funny, he was like, I think I'll probably need a large fries. I'm like, will you now, you haven't done it, it's not in you. He's like, yeah, but just, you know, to support you. So then we took our fries, and there's a McDonald's right by the clinic, so I bet they make a killing. Well, kind of near where, like near to where we were parked, so I'll tell you where that is.
Yeah.
But I bet they make a killing from people just buying fries that have just had embryo transfers.
Yeah. I bet they do. They should do little offers, 2-for-1 on large fries.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. So we ate those in the car, then we drove home. Then we did have a lovely plan to like go for a little date and kind of mark the occasion, but we were exhausted, like so spent, so like just emotionally drained. So we stayed in and got a takeaway.
That's nice.
That was nice and chilled, and yeah, and like I just find it so mad that I've got one of our embryos in me. Yeah, so
oh god. And it's, you know, it's the wait, it's the dreaded 2-week wait now.
Yeah, and now it literally is. I mean, it was out of our hands before really, but There's nothing else to do apart from wait now. Mm-hmm. Like before, it's like, oh, got to do this jab. Well, there's pessaries. So I'm doing my progesterone pessaries, which are messy, but fine.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the procedures and stuff are done. So there's not much else to do, but just keep your mind like from going absolutely mental and waiting for almost 2 weeks before finding out if you get, and then you can take a test. They give you a date when you can take a test, and then it's either going to be a positive or it's not. And so so literally it's like, yeah, I'm trying to remind myself of all those like little mantras. Like I keep trying to say to myself, the hard work is done, my body's done the hard work, my body can just reap the rewards, and my body knows what to do. I mean, does it know what to do? I don't know. It's never done it before, so who knows?
I think also the other thing is with your in the 2-week wait, I think what's brutal about it is that it is so yes or no. It's so binary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Schrodinger's cat. You know that philosopher, I don't know, Schrodinger, who said like, I've got a cat. Oh, sorry, because Pixie's just meowed.
I'm so sorry, she's meowing.
Don't listen to this, Pixie, because basically this philosopher put a cat in a box and said, like, this cat might be dead or it might be alive.
Oh, yeah.
And that theory of until you know, it is both.
Yeah.
So, like, until we know, that's why I said sorry to your cats, that they're probably like, oh, kicking off.
She just meowed again.
Yeah, she's like, hey, don't put me in a box. Nobody puts Pixie in a box.
No.
But until we know, it's kind of both, either.
Mm.
I am technically, I'm not technically, because I don't know, but like legally, in the eyes of the law, I am pregnant. I'm the most pregnant I've ever been. Like,
yeah, and
you know.
If you are employed, actually you have the same employment rights as someone who is pregnant. So I probably need to research that more, but that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it's that, I mean, everyone experiences it differently, I'm sure, but I think it's probably quite a common thing. One minute I'm convinced it's worked, and I'm like, well, why would it not work? there's no reason for it not to work. Everything's gone really well for us, touch wood, till now. I'm like, I've been eating the right things. I've been doing my I've done my acupuncture, for goodness sake. Like, why would it not have worked? Like, the odds are in our favour. Like, we've been, you know, we're lucky. We've been given good odds, that sort of thing. And then in the next, literally the next minute, I can be like, well, it's not going to have worked. Of course not. It's our first time. Everyone says it doesn't work on the first time. And this is what my mind is doing, like, back and forth, back and forth. So
it sounds, you know, exhausting. You must be exhausted.
So brace yourself. Just keep busy, I think. Just keep, like, I don't know, busy, but not like, not crazy busy. Don't exhaust yourself. But I'm just trying to keep doing my day to day. Keep, like, I don't know, keep finding stuff to do. And then counting down the days, really, being like, right, okay. it's a weird, like, no man's land to be in. It's so weird.
It's just mad. And it's so crazy that obviously with the scans and everything, you've been used to kind of having your support team from the hospital, like going and visiting them every couple of days, like having a friendly, smiley face.
And getting those updates as well. Whereas now it's like, okay, just like, you know, good luck. Take a test in however many days. Let us know what it says. Yeah. And I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, that's really hard. Well, it seems to me like you're doing an amazing job. And to be quite honest, even if you were an absolute mess, it would be fine because it's understandable, you know?
I think as well, this is the benefit of, I'm very aware that we're doing this for the first time and ignorance is bliss and we're probably in this little naive bubble. So I think I'm doing all right because we're very fortunate, touch wood, so far we've not experienced what it's like when it doesn't work. And I feel like people going back in for a second time, who knows, that might be us, it might not be, you never know. But I feel like then I just don't know if the shine would be taken off it a bit, whereas I find it easier because we've never done it before to sit in a bit more of a kind of, I suppose, a peaceful state with it and try and do all those kind of mantras and reminders. And by the way, when I say that I'm telling myself these mantras, and it is a bit manifesty, but if this works, it's not because I manifested it, and if it doesn't work, it's not because I didn't manifest it enough. So I want to make that point, because there are going to be people who have been told to do all this stuff, but, and I've not been very manifesty the whole journey. we hate that word. Because I'm so aware that I'm like, well, it will work or it won't, and I'm not to blame, and it's not because I didn't think positively enough and all of this. But it's so funny now it's out of my hands. I have found myself being like, all right, universe, what you got for me, you know? But I want to stress that's just for my mindset in the here and now. That's just what I think will help with my head, and I don't think that will change the outcome. But that, I think that's why we're finding it easier to be a bit more like that and be a bit more like, okay, what if it all works, what if it all goes well, because ignorance is bliss at this stage. And hey, let's hope it stays like that. But I want to acknowledge that, because there's going to be a lot of people for whom they're not feeling as hopeful.
No.
And it changes, you know, we're only day 4 post transfer, so come and see me on day 10 or whatever, I'll be like, however many, you know.
It can be a little bit kind of blamey then, that it feels like it's your fault if it didn't happen.
100%. So I just want to make that point, but you know what, in the moment it's helping me, so I'm like, okay, let's give it, come on universe, come on, bring it. I'm here. I'm doing all the right things. Hello. Yeah. But we're all right. We're doing all right. Carla's being amazing, as always. I mean, we're in it together. You know, we both keep... I'm sure he's got the same thoughts as me in this. And he's in this two-week wait too. So, but that is our story of our first ever embryo transfer. Like, we got this far. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I cannot believe. It's just insane. It's mad. It's so funny because obviously this week I've been hearing what's been happening for you, and obviously hearing all the updates, and we were talking about this kind of earlier in the week. This was before going under for the egg collection, and I remember sort of saying to you that I was like, oh my God, I'm so worried. there's a lot of statistics involved, aren't there, in terms of, oh, well, it'll work in 1 in 3 people, or, you know what I mean? Mm. And it's really, sometimes you go, oh, God, okay, which you want it, obviously you want it to work for your friends, because that is just what you want, you know? But obviously in my head, I was like, oh, God, I really hope that we have the same outcome. Do you know what I mean? Like, we get eggs. Yeah. Look, we even get eggs that fertilise, that we even get to a transfer. And I did voice that to you. I was like, I'm really, like, nervous, like, in a weird way. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Yeah, we're all different.
And I think that we'll probably come to this, we've both fallen victim of that, like, comparison mentality a little bit. But I do think it comes back to this kind of queue mentality. And I know that before we spoke about how when people get pregnant, maybe quicker than you or ahead of you, you feel like they're in the queue for a baby, and they jump the queue, and there's only a finite supply of babies being handed out. So with people like us and people going through it who are really close and really, like, close friendship wise and close to each other in terms of treatment, it can be a bit like, oh, you got that many eggs, you've taken that it sounds stupid, doesn't it, but like, you've taken that many of the supply and there'll be less left for me, which is not correct or logical, but I feel like that's where our brains go, and it goes back to the whole, oh, but what's left for me?
And yeah, and I also feel like, as well, I don't know about you, but when you tell people that you're doing a podcast, they go, oh my God, I hope it works for both of you and not one or the other. So obviously your journey's going smoothly. So in my head, I'm like, I'm going to be the one that it doesn't go smoothly for. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Isn't that mad that our brain does that?
Our brains do that, yeah, 100%. Maybe it's try and cling on to something. But we can come back to this, because then it all flipped around, didn't it? And I had that moment after your egg collection.
I know.
Because, but that brings us on to what did happen for you. So do you want to talk us through your egg collection kind of experience? So take us back to the trigger injection, where it all started.
Well, actually, I might need to take you back slightly before.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Take us back further. Yeah. Silly me.
Basically, what had happened was, in my scan on Monday, they had a little look and basically... Oh, no. Hang on a minute. Let me go back. They looked at my scan on Friday and... From where we left off last week, I had doubled the dose. So that's where we were at. Now, when I went back in on Monday, they were happy with the follicles, that they were responding to that new dose. But they were worried that I might be at risk of overstimulation, OHSS.
Curveball,
guys. Because I really didn't think that was on my... I don't know, I just didn't think that was going to be me. But I did, do you remember I said this to you, Catherine, that I am affected quite a lot by
medication?
Yeah, I said
quite
that.
Quite sensitive.
Yeah. So I, they started doing daily blood tests for my estrogen, or estradiol, they call it. So they wanted to see that it didn't go over a certain amount. So basically... much probably to the... I don't know, my work were fine about it, but, you know, I had to be like, I'm sorry, I've got another
appointment. Back in hospital.
Yeah, back in hospital. So they did my bloods, and it was gradually building up. So the threshold is 1,500 before they basically say you can't do egg collection.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And so I was getting up to sort of the 8,000 mark, which is still kind of... Oh, it's actually
800.
Okay. 8,000. Oh, no. 15. Yeah, so 1,500.
1,500.
15,000.
15,000.
15,000. And I was at 8,000. That's what it is.
Okay.
And they were like, we're fine. Like, we do... You'd have to, like, basically double for it to not go ahead. But they were still keeping me on the double dose. And obviously every day I was increasing in terms of that. And I was feeling sick, so sick. I honestly felt like vomiting quite a lot. I felt sick.
Yeah.
So obviously that's probably also why they were doing it. And basically they were happy with the dose on the, was it the Wednesday is the day I did my trigger. So they called me on Wednesday to say, let's go for it, but don't do any more stims. So I didn't do any more stims anymore. And they said, take your trigger. So I did that in the evening at 10:30 p.m. And then exactly 36 hours later, I'm obviously going to be having the egg collection. Actually, it was such a good tip from you, putting ice there, because I didn't feel it at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Ice on your tummy.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was really good. And then that was really it. But I was still feeling a little bit under the weather. But apparently that's quite normal from it all. And then on Friday, we got there bright and early. Oh, no. We tried to get there bright and early. And I gave Andrew the wrong address. So we ended up, we were like driving and Andrew was like, I'm pretty sure this is in the complete wrong direction to Kingston. I was like, no, it's not, it's fine, you've got it in a sat nav. And then it wasn't until we got to Merton that Andrew was like, this is very wrong, that
wrong
I'd
hospital.
Obviously put in the wrong bloody hospital. Of course I'd only been there like every day for like nearly the last 2 weeks, you know, so really silly. But we managed to get there with about 5 minutes to spare. So
fine. And they bring you in a bit early anyway, don't they?
Exactly. It was fine. It was fine. But I could tell that Andrew was trying to be really calm about it.
Yeah, I would have freaked out.
Yeah. He was like, it's okay. It's absolutely fine. But we arrived and lovely nurse just got me all prepped for it. And it was my birthday, everyone.
Oh, egg collection on your birthday. Happy birthday. Here's some eggs.
Yeah.
What a present.
What a present. And it was fine, actually. I was so scared. I was shaking.
Oh,
I was
God.
Just so scared because I couldn't stop thinking about that whopping great big needle. And also I couldn't stop thinking about how many eggs we're going to get and what's going to happen and will they fertilize and all those big questions. But they were amazing. I saw the anaesthetist and he was amazing. He was so kind. And I met the doctor. I feel really awful. I can't remember her name, but she was brilliant. Somebody went before me. I was second on the list.
Great.
And then the actual, when they put in the drug, I know exactly what you mean by being woozy. Because he said, how do you feel? And I went, drunk. And he was like, yeah, it's probably the equivalent of having like 4 or 5 double G&Ts. And I was
hello.
Jesus Christ. Especially because like we haven't been drinking. So I was like, whoa.
Enjoy
and,
that.
Yeah.
It's how a glass of wine would feel right now.
It would. And then literally before I knew it, I just woke up. It actually felt quite quick.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, really quick. And I had a student doctor in there with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Hope they learnt a lot.
I know. She looks so young.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know.
You formed a part of her, like, medical
experience.
You know, education.
Exactly, woke up and I felt really sick initially.
Yeah.
But actually that subsided pretty quickly. Had a lovely cup of tea and a ginger nut biscuit, probably for
you got ginger nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got custard creams.
I know, they're the best. They're the best.
Yeah, I won the biscuit bingo with that one.
Yeah,
sorry.
100%, 100%.
Like, never mind who got the most eggs, who got the good biscuits? Me.
Absolutely. Well, and then I just basically couldn't eat my packed lunch until I found out, you know, how many eggs. I just couldn't. I was sitting there and I just couldn't. And then what happened?
Andrew took your eggs in a little box over to the other hospital.
He took them the other side, to Denmark Hill. He actually, before he left, apparently the anaesthetist had given me quite a lot to knock me out. and they said, oh, it's very unlikely that she'll come round for a little while, so you might as well go now. And literally at that precise moment, I started to come round.
Like I heard.
Yeah. And I immediately, when I woke up, I started getting quite teary. Now, I didn't make a scene, everybody. Aww. Don't worry.
Oh, Sian, you can make a scene. If you can't make a scene in this situation, when can you?
I know. That's so true. It's so true. But I didn't, like, wail or anything. I was quite teary, and then I just kept saying, how many eggs?
Seen that video, because Andrew did a little video of you, didn't you? Apparently, I did exactly the same thing, and Sian is just groggily being like, how many eggs do we get? And Andrew's like, I told you, we don't know yet. I think everyone does it.
I think they must do. And then, he went over to the other clinic, and apparently it was absolutely chocker, really, really busy. And then he obviously did his deed, and then they said that he was good to do. We were good to do ICSI, so we were doing ICSI tick. And then they said you've got 19 eggs.
19.
Yeah, 19.
Wow. And were you shocked? Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was.
Because you were sort of told at, you know, during your scans, maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah, 7 or 8. There were some real tiddlers at the bottom of my chart, your scan chart. Yeah. And it was so funny. On my final scan, I sent it to Andrew and he circled them going, what are these lazy ones doing? Like, why are they not getting with the program? And I was like, I know. Yeah. But obviously, they must have continued to, grow. But also, some of those 19... I think the embryologist said, because he said there were 9 test tubes, and he said some of them were not mature. Do you know what I mean? So don't expect 19. So I was like, okay, how many? But I was really, really, really shocked, to be quite honest, especially because, I'm now 36 and I don't know.
But you made those eggs when you were 35.
That's what Laura said. The nurse said you made them at 35.
But doesn't it just show? It just, like, it doesn't really have any correlation. But yeah, you must have been so shocked. Because I remember when Carl texted me and told us about our eggs, he went, 10 eggs. I went, great. Boom, bang on the money, what we thought. And you must have been like, huh? Did you think he made a typo or something?
Yeah, I know. I was really worried. Like, I had no idea. And then what happened after? Yeah, 19. And we were like, okay, we expect, a few to be left along the wayside. And yesterday, we got a call from the embryologist to say that 16 were mature, which I was quite shocked at.
Great.
I know, really amazing. And 11 had fertilized, so you know that is quite a jump there. We were at 19, now we're at 11. We'll see what happens. It's good news. 11 is good, to be fertilized. Actually, they did say there was another 2 lagging behind, but they didn't think that they were going to make it. Sad. Aww, I so sad for them.
Oh, like my little 5th MB.
I know. It's just like, oh, God bless you lot. We just got to see. We get another phone call tomorrow.
Right, and that's the day 3 one to see how many are still going. How many are embryos?
Yeah, how many are still going. I did say to the embryo, I asked so many questions. I can't even remember what I asked her, but I asked her loads of questions and she was amazing. And she just said that it was a really positive start, and that she said that, what did she say? We won't be able to know the quality until Monday, basically.
Yeah.
So, we just don't know. And I'm just hoping that we've still got, some good quality eggs in there. She did say as well that, what else did she say? She can't remember what she said now. She was just really great. Oh, she said already that we're going to book in your Wednesday. And I was quite shocked at that, because I said, well, we may not get to that point. And she said, I'd be very shocked if you didn't.
Great.
So, I mean, that makes me feel good, even though I know it's not a guarantee.
No, but like, hold on to that. Yeah. You know? That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're holding on to that, and it was a nice birthday surprise that, you know, the worst thing you want to hear, obviously, is none fertilised. That is just terrifying, isn't
it? Yeah. But they did. They did their job. They went on a date and they liked it. So
they liked each other. Some of them didn't.
Where do you think they went on their date? Pizza Express?
I don't know. I
cinema?
Reckon, yeah, I reckon a French restaurant. Let's go to Zadel's, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brasserie Zadel. Nice.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, well done, Eggs and Sperms. They did it.
Yeah.
So far, so good, right?
Yeah. And so tomorrow we find out, and then Wednesday is sedation. And I know it's not usual for people to have it, but it's really interesting because... I asked the embryologist, and she said, you'll be shocked at how many people actually do have their transfer under sedation. She said, you'll not be the only person, and that it's by no means an inconvenience. And they said, actually, a lot of people never talk about it. So, you know, here I am being honest about it.
And you know what? This is probably the wrong thing for me to think, but I was thinking, because I enjoyed the transfer. It sounds weird, but I did enjoy the transfer. So I, you know, it was a real highlight. Highlights of IVF, who knew? But and I said to you, didn't I? I said, I'm, you know, sad for you that you won't get that experience. But then I thought to myself, no, but for Sean, it won't be that experience. It wouldn't be that. It'd be stressful and it'd be horrible and painful. Yeah. So it's the right thing for you, and, you know, good for you for having what's right, you know.
Yeah. And also to all those people out there that have, who are possibly considering IVF, but they're thinking, I can't even get through a smear test properly. Well, I'm testament, you can do it, guys. You can do it. That it is doable, you know.
Lots of kind, you know, medical professionals as well. I think the people that work in fertility are just angels.
They are.
I think they just have to be.
Yeah, we actually went and gave them some... Well, there was nobody there at the desk, but I hope they got them. But we put some cupcakes on their desk before we left, because we just thought they were just amazing, like magical humans. And I actually feel a bit sad that, you know, I want to see them, like, soon. I want to see them.
Yeah. And this is the point. Now, we said we'd come back to it, how we kind of fell into a bit of a comparison trap, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because when you text me and you were like 19 eggs, I was sort of like, oh, puts my 10 in the shade a little bit. I was like, oh, I feel like I didn't do that well now.
Oh,
and
no.
The thing is, no, but the thing is, and this is probably, I'm hoping this might be helpful for people who are going through it and have friends going through it, or even are comparing themselves to people online. And we have always made a pact with each other that we will voice these opinions and be honest, and be honest from the start, not let things fester, because you do have some because it was an uncomfortable thought. I was like, but I'm jumping for joy for you. I'm so happy. And I'm sure you probably had that when you heard about our blastocysts, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we've always made a pact that we will be open and honest and deal with them as they come up, acknowledge all these feelings, and then kind of put them to bed, like, no hard feelings. And it's hard, isn't it? So far, I think we've done really well at that. But so you were so kind and so wonderful and just said to me, like, I completely... Because someone else might have been like, oh, you know, jealous bitch, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, you were so kind. You were like, I completely understand, and I would feel the same. But we're both different, which is pretty much what I'd said to you about 5 days before.
I know.
So, how funny.
It is, but I was going to say as well, I think what's hard about this whole egg thing is that, I don't know, as women, I feel like we are quite often, I don't know, we in terms of women, there's like a pressure to like measure our worth, you know, whether that's through our bodies or like, you know, whether,
careers. We're driven to be competitive with each other, aren't we? And we're kind of conditioned to feel like there's not room for all of us as women, you know? So that's the hard thing, is I feel like it's a bit hardwired.
Yeah.
Not hardwired, but it kind of maybe conditioned into us.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's really hard not to compare, because IVF brings so much uncertainty.
I feel like a lot of women, especially who go through IVF, men as well, but especially women who go through IVF, do tend to be quite type A, motivated, driven women. I mean, I don't consider myself that type A in all areas of my life, because you should see my sock drawer. It's very messy. Carl will tell you that I'm, you know, not all areas, but I feel like a lot of people, and women especially, are overachievers. If we're putting ourselves through this, we're working hard for it. I just find a lot of people who go through it are the type of people that everything else in their life they've worked for and they've got it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So then it's really hard when you feel like you're underachieving, and I don't feel that at all. I'd like to make that clear. I'm so happy with our results and what we got, but sometimes you can go, am I underachieving at IVF, at eggs? Your body is doing something that is amazing, but is totally out of your control, and that you can't manage. You can't decide this anymore.
And the other thing is that the lack of I cannot describe, for those that are listening who perhaps don't know what it's like, the lack of control in this is completely overwhelming. And like I said, if we're the type of people that you work really hard at different areas of your life, I'm afraid that hard work doesn't guarantee success in this at all. And that is a really hard pill to swallow. And then when you get bogged down with statistics and numbers and eggs and grading, and, you know, it can be quite frightening, can't it?
Yeah, totally. So we both decided that we were being silly billies. And we're not going to compare anymore. But no. I think it is natural, isn't it? And it's that thing of like, this is the beauty of going through something with somebody. Mm. But also that's the challenge of it, isn't it? And hey, look, you know, we're neither of us are done yet. So might have a bit more of it. But no, I feel grateful that you know, you're so kind and you know, generous. And we work through those difficult complex feelings that I think a lot of people have with their friends who are trying for babies, or maybe going through treatment, or even just entering motherhood, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure it gets a bit like that in motherhood too, you know. My baby sleeps, my baby doesn't sleep, my baby eats this.
They tell us that it does, don't they? So now, moving forwards, obviously I'm in the 2-week wait. You've got a big week this week. Mm. We're both doing them pessaries, those horrible, messy pessaries.
I hate them. I actually hate them. I actually was given them. I was given them before starting IVF by a different doctor.
Describe maybe in a roundabout way what a pessary is for those who are not in the know.
It looks like a white chalk kind of bullet. That's what it looks like. And they've got this like slimy coating on the outside. And the progesterone, because I said, how do I know that my womb's going to be okay for transferring, you know, an embryo? And they said, that's what the progesterone's for.
It's to sustain an early pregnancy, isn't it?
Yeah. I diagnosed myself with low progesterone, and a different doctor actually prescribed me them, because I believe there is some, I don't know what the evidence is, we're not medical professionals, but I know that some people who maybe suffer miscarriages are given progesterone to help them. But we are given this progesterone because obviously our cycle is a little bit all over the place at the moment.
And it's not a real cycle, is it? So normally your body would make progesterone, but our bodies aren't making it because we're on synthetic hormones. So we begin being given them synthetically. And Sian, how do we administer these pessaries? either vaginally or rectally.
Yeah.
And the exact words that I got told in one of our meetings, our appointments with the nurse, was whichever you prefer. And that made Carl really laugh because he was just like, ooh, what a choice. And I was like, are you really laughing at the, she was like, you can put it up your bum if you prefer. And Carl started laughing. I'm like, come on, be mature. But he was just like, it's the whichever you prefer. Like it's like, ooh, shall I have the steak or the chicken? Like, oh, shall I put it here or here?
Yeah.
But neither are the best, but necessary, you know?
I just think
stick them up there.
They're just a bit messy,
They're really messy.
Yeah.
They will destroy your pants.
Yeah.
Get panty liners.
Yeah. I've went and bought new underwear because it's just really annoyed me. Yeah.
Get panty liners.
Oh, yeah. I should do, shouldn't I? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, we've got to take those. If it is a positive result, we have to take them for 12 weeks.
Yeah. Don't we? Up until week 12 of pregnancy. Yeah. Fingers crossed. You know what? I'd take that.
Me too. All time.
Yeah. Like, I'm not complaining, really.
Yeah. We're fine.
I'll keep taking them. We're fine, universe. But yeah. So how do you feel about transfer coming up? Yeah, it's a big week for you.
I think I feel more concerned at how many that have survived.
Do you know how are you feeling about tomorrow? Tomorrow's phone call.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous about that. Especially because I'll be at work. I know. But I have asked them to call me at a break time.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that that's what will happen. I guess we'll see, won't we? Because either I'll stay at work or I'll be going home. But let's hope it's all
let's
okay.
Let's hope it's good news, yeah. You just got to get to the next bit and then the next bit and then the next bit, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny. Andrew's like made up, he's an Excel whiz. And he's like created an Excel document with like different, Excel codes. And he's put in like 30% drop off, 50% drop off. So he's given like all these different like outcomes that could happen from our eggs.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, I mean, statistically, if the statistics show, according to Andrew's Excel document, we're hoping that it should be bare minimum 6 blastocysts.
Wow.
Which would
and
be
that
great.
Would just be minimum 6 as well.
Yeah.
5 that or would 6. Be,
yeah.
That was, I tell you, that was my dream when I thought I was getting loads of eggs. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have 6 blastocysts? But, and then considering I didn't do too bad at 4, you know, very, very fortunate. But this is when I was like, yeah, loads of follicles, baby.
Well, yeah, it's funny, you know. Isn't it? Because I really didn't think, I just didn't think that was on the cards. I just didn't. Mm. Oh, so what about your week? How are you?
It's going to be counting down to official test date, really. And I'm just going to try and, you know, do other things, switch my mind off and remind myself that nothing more I can do, the hard work's done. Try and, like, encourage the little MB in there, be like, hope you like it, stick around, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just gotta, and then on the actual test day, I'm not working at all. Neither of us are. So I am going to hold out. I'm not going to test early because I would like to wait until that day when I've got the whole day together to process whatever it might say. I know that in my normal natural cycles, I've been a bit of an early tester and I've been a bit of a test fiend from like 8 days post-ovulation. But actually, firstly, I don't want the ambiguity around a test that I go, is that? Isn't that? That's what it says, but is it too early? And doubting whatever I see. And secondly, if it's positive, I really would love that moment of seeing two lines because we've never seen two lines. I mean, Carl went, I've never seen a pregnancy test because I've always done one, not shown him, just chucked it away, been like, yeah, it's negative. He's like, I've never seen anything. But I've never seen two lines. So I'd love that moment where you look down and you see it for the first time. My plan is to get a two lines one, or, you know, one with the lines, the old fashioned one. And then if it's good news, if it looks promising, I'm going to do the digital one. Because I want to see the word pregnant. But if it's not good news, I don't really want to see the words not pregnant punching me in the face.
Totally.
So I'll keep that one up my sleeve for if it is.
What brand are you going for?
Ooh, we're not sponsored by, but we are welcome. Yeah, we welcome sponsorship. I think I might go for a first response and then a clear blue from a digital. Yeah. But I've got loads of the pre-mom ones in my cupboard. Cheapies.
Yeah.
So they can be my backup ones, and I'll probably do about, I don't know, 50 of those. Great.
Well, also, really good. let's say, and we pray to the gods and the universe and all those people, that it is positive. Do you think yes. you'll be testing, like, every day from there on?
Yeah. Yeah, probably for my whole pregnancy. Cool.
Oh, no!
No, I don't know, but I think I will be one of the... I don't know, I think I'll just need to keep seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just can't imagine me taking one test and being like, yep, great, get on with my day or get on with my week. I don't know, but at least I'd know one way or another. Like, at the moment, it's like, yeah, it's... But, yeah, look, at least I've got an inkling of an outcome. Like, you know, whereas now being in this bit, I'm like, I don't know. I've no idea. I've literally no idea. Got no symptoms, but most people don't have any symptoms, and it's too early for pregnancy symptoms anyway. So symptoms aren't reliable. Just trying to keep my head a bit sane, really.
Do you have any top tips for anybody listening in terms of this 2-week wait? Because I'm sure there'll be a few listening.
Well, someone... on our Instagram, we were chatting about this, and so it's not my idea, it's theirs, but they've got a list of things for the if it's negative list. So if it's negative, have a big glass of wine, have a really hot bubble bath, maybe a medium rare steak, you know, all those things I couldn't do, all those things I'm not doing right now because I'm acting like I'm pregnant. I'm like, I can't eat that, I can't eat this. Or better not have a really hot bath, etc. All that stuff. So maybe make a little list, even if it's stuff that you could do if you were pregnant. If it's just like, you know, buy yourself that really nice pair of shoes that you've wanted, or you know, just have a little list in the back of my pocket to be like, right, if it's negative, maybe we'll make a little plan. If it's negative, this is what we'll do. Maybe we'll go somewhere or do a particularly nice walk with a dog, or. Yeah. You know, and then I think just try and fill your days if it helps, you know, be busy, be nicely busy, not stressed busy, but, you know, get stuck into that book that's been on your shelf for 6 months and you're like, oh, I've been meaning to read that. Find a new series, you know, reorganize your sock drawer. I don't know. Walk the dog. Get a dog. Dogs are good.
Get a dog. Imagine.
Just get a dog. But yeah, I just cuddle the dog a lot. I'm like, right, you can be my baby. Just hold him. I literally hold him like a baby. He's like, thanks, mum. But yeah.
I have to say, shout out to the pets out there because they are our emotional cuddle toys right now.
Oh, here's my little teddy bear, this little dog, emotional support dog. Yeah, they're good. And your cats as well.
Oh my God, I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. We will be back soon when I will probably know what is going on and you'll have had your transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the meantime, people can follow us on Instagram at...
Oh, God. IVF BFF pod.
Correct.
I got it right.
You did?
Yeah.
Well done. And they can email us at...
IVFBFFpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And if you like this podcast, guys, just like pop a little 5 stars down, you know, on the ratings. Why not?
And a little review might
you
be
know
nice.
What top tips for getting through the 2-week wait, leave us nice reviews, it will really help me. Say nice things about me.
And if anybody's out there and fancies getting in touch or asking a question or just saying hi, we would
just
love
chatting.
To say hi. We've got lots of people that we're chatting to and it's nice.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best. So
thank
you
to everyone.
Sending love to everyone who's also in this little bubble. Yeah. Especially, there's a couple of people like in the 2-week wait with me. I'm like, eek! But
me too.
So sending love.
Big shout out to those people. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my love. I think that's probably a good place to leave it for now. But
I think so.
Everything crossed, guys, for everybody. Cross fingers, cross toes, cross arms and legs, everything.
Yeah. Babies for everyone.
Babies for everyone!
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.